Let me angel this paper.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is great for Terry and I to be here. My name is Scott Schultz and my wife Terry. And if you don't know, I'm the fifth Sunday preacher.
Yep. You may have a bigger title, but I'm pretty proud of my title. And,
we've been coming over for quite some time doing lessons and years. And it's always encouraging because the body here is growing. And not only numerically, but serving-wise, I'm so glad Greg's got some help singing. Amen. We got Phil coming out of town. He comes and sings, him and his wife. I appreciate you guys doing that. And we got the Gomans singing. And to top that off, we got the kids with the Shakers. I mean, that was really exciting. I'm just excited for the Brevard ministry. And I have heard that I'm going to be replaced by some full-time guy. Where's the gratitude? I may just show up sometime. So, but we already mentioned, I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. Terry and I got to go over to her brother's house, and he's sitting right back there, Nick and Shoko. And we had a great time with them, and I mentioned to Nick that I was preaching today over here, and he wanted to come to support me, so I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And a few weeks ago, I got to spend some time with my mother and my brother. My brother and his wife came up from South Florida to visit our mom in St. Cloud, and my wife Terry and I went over as well. And as we were sitting in my mother's living room, my brother and I were sitting on the same couch. And we laughed a lot. We had a lot of fun thinking about old times. And I couldn't help feeling the same admiration and appreciation for my brother that I felt when we were growing up. Because as an older brother, he took care of me. He seemed to be good at everything. You ever have a brother like that? And he was always showing me how to do things. And I think sitting on that couch that day, because he was real close, I had that flashback. You know, you're always the younger brother. If you can relate to that. In a good way. That's how I felt that day. We play a lot of sports together. I remember me hitting me grounders in baseball. That's one that bounces on the ground. On our not-so-smooth gravel driveway. It was, talk about learning the hard way. We played basketball in our makeshift gym in a barn next to our house. I remember going to a lot of his games. He's always excelled. It actually made it easier for me. It gave me confidence. When I started playing basketball and baseball, I thought, you know, I've been taught. My brother was so good, you know. I must be okay, you know, because he taught me how to do sports because he always paved. He came before me, and he set me up for success. He also set me up for success about getting a job. When he was about 15 or 16, he took a job at a sawmill during the summer. The sawmill was about a mile from our house, and he walked to work. And we were living in Maine at the time, and so sawmills are kind of a little more common up there, you know. And I'll never forget him bringing home his first payday. He got paid in one $50 bill. And he had worked 40 hours, and he got paid $1.25 per hour. And he earned $50 for all week. So he took the $50 bill, held it high in the air, and let me and my younger sister try to jump up and grab it, you know? And then he played that game where he would drop it, we'd try to catch it in our fingers, you know, and like we would get it if we did catch it, but we never could do that. I think he ironed that bill, you know? But we just had great fun with that. But I'll never forget, the whole family went to Kmart, not Walmart. Kmart was the big store back then. So he could buy some things with that $50 bill. And he let my sister and me choose one thing that we wanted to buy for ourselves. I mean, he was feeling pretty rich. And I ended up buying a fishing reel. It was one of the best reels you could buy at the time. A Zebco reel. They still make those? Zebco? And I picked it not because I was into fishing that much, but because my brother was, and I wanted to be just like him. Wow. You know, my brother could do no wrong in my eyes. So the point in telling you this story is Jesus is our big brother. Yes. Now, I think we understand that, but we need to look at it a little more deeply. Let's turn over in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are being made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters." So let's break this down a little bit. Both the one who makes people holy, that would be Jesus. Jesus is the one that makes us holy. Those who are being made holy, that would be you and I, those baptized into Christ, are of the same family. Now that's incredible. I mean, if you need some good news today as a disciple, you're in the same family, God's family, and Jesus is your older brother. If you need some confidence today, think about, man, what kind of confidence would that give you to have Jesus as your older brother? He is your older brother. And if you think about it, it seems to me like the one who makes people holy brings more to the table than the ones who are being made holy.
Yeah.
You know? And you see, Jesus is a special big brother. He's not only the older brother, he's the one that brought us into the family. I mean, my brother, great as he was, he didn't bring us into the family. But that's how great Jesus is. He brought us in as an older brother. And if you want to know, how does Jesus feel about the relationship with us? You know, because you know, sometimes younger brothers and sisters, you want to kind of scoot away, you know. It says Jesus is not ashamed. He's not ashamed to call us his brother or sister. You know, it's hard to believe we are in God's family with Jesus as our brother. I mean, I've known this for much time, but until I did this study, it really came clearer to me. And I thought about, you know, I have three children. And a good father loves your children equally, don't you? I mean, it doesn't matter. This one may be better at this, or this one, you're going to love your children equally. I thought about, God loves us equally. I mean, I have a lot of worth in God's sight. I mean, because I know how I love my children, and that's how God loves each of us. You know, so God's given us incredible value. We're either a son or daughter in his family. And esteem. We have a place in God's family with Jesus as our brother. So we should have great confidence in this life, knowing that we are part of God's family and Jesus is our big brother. Let's read another passage that describes how Jesus is our big brother. You can turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 50. Matthew chapter 12, starting verse 46. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, waiting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So here's another scripture where Jesus identifies himself as part of the family. And he's definitely the older brother. I don't think we have anybody older than Jesus in here.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking at you, Jim. I really wasn't. But it does say, there's a little stipulation here. You've got to do the will of my Father in heaven to be a part of part of God's family. And I don't know about you, but aren't you glad that what you look like doesn't make you a part of God's family? I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. What does matter, are you doing the will of God? And when I talk to people about God, not everyone wants to do God's will. Have you noticed that in life? I mean, not everyone wants to do God's will. And so that's why it's so refreshing. When I come to the Brevard ministry over here or the Orlando church, I mean, I'm around people that are striving to do God's will with all their hearts. And it's just so encouraging. And that's why we hug each other. We're happy to see each other. Because we just spend all week with, most of us, a lot of non-disciples. And you know, we're part of a spiritual family. And remember, the love that we have for each other is how people will recognize that we are God's family.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember I was 20 years old going to a church in Florida. And I came in. And I used to brag that I'd only been to church a couple times growing up. A bad thing to brag about. But I just never went. My family never went to church. And I remember seeing the church and the people hugged each other. And I just thought, this is strange. But it did make an impression. And then I started reading the Bible. And it was like the Bible and the church. It just made perfectly sense. And I got baptized. And every sense, I mean, I'm the hugger. I become the hugger. And I love that about the church. There's also joy when you see someone added to God's family. I mean, it was exciting for me to meet Peter Gelsman. He's not here today. But there used to be a couple in the Orlando church, Neil and Judy Fabellinia. And they moved to San Antonio, Texas, like years ago. Terry and I went to visit them maybe 10 years ago. Actually, we just went to church there and forgot they were there. Has that ever happened to you? And you go to church somewhere and people you know are there and they were there. And that's Judy's father. I mean, it's just incredible to see God moving when we work together as a family. So regardless if you had a big brother growing up, you have a spiritual big brother in Jesus. So now we've established Jesus, our older brother, we're going to talk about how Jesus loves us and how we can love others. And my first point is Jesus has loved us as our big brother. And just like my brother took care of me, Jesus takes care of us. And I want to just read a couple passages, and you don't really have to turn there, but just describe how Jesus takes care of us. And the first one is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. It says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, sometimes people think Christianity is hard. It is in one sense, but this scripture says it's easy, it's light, and you'll find rest for your soul. I don't know about you, but easy is good to me in my life. I like easy things. I like light things. And I like rest. And basically Jesus said, that's what I'm going to do for you by being your big brother. Also, Jesus protects us over in John 10:10. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I mean, it's great to have a big brother that would lay down his life for you. That's what Jesus brings to relationship. Just like I thought my brother was good at everything, Jesus was good at everything. Over in Hebrews 5, verse 8, it says he learned obedience from what he suffered. Even when Jesus suffered, he was learning. He learned obedience from what he suffered. Jesus was good at loving others. Remember the rich young ruler? Jesus looked at him and loved him. You know, we can correct people, but what Jesus is teaching us, look at them and love them as you correct them. How about dealing with betrayal? Matthew 26, verse 23. Who likes to get betrayed? Not me. During the Last Supper, Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. I mean, Jesus knew all along that Judas was going to betray him. I mean, how could you still be nice to a person, you know, and include him in all your things and your teachings? But Jesus still loved Judas. And I'm sure we don't have anybody like that in our lives, but we may have some people in our lives that we don't feel the love for. You know what I'm saying? But Jesus teaches us to love regardless. And then just like my brother showed me how to do things, Jesus has shown us how to do things. I mean, withstand temptation. John 4:4. Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness by the devil after having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Anybody fasted that long before? I mean, it's incredible. And remember, he wanted Jesus to tell those stones to become bread. And Jesus said, you know, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So our big brother is teaching us how to withstand temptation. We can overcome temptation. He's also teaching us how to pray in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. That's our big brother, Jesus, teaching us how to pray. How about forgiving others? Luke 28:34, Jesus was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I don't know about you, but I've had to use this passage hundreds of times, maybe more than that, you know. And I've always thought about that, you know, because someone maybe hurts your feelings or does something to you, and sometimes you can forgive without, they may never see it. And you may talk to them and they may see it, that's great too, but sometimes they may never see it. But as far as I'm concerned, I want to have that forgiveness for other people. Also, how to handle prideful rivalries. In Mark chapter 9, verse 35, the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest. Imagine having Jesus as an older brother, and you're arguing, you're the little guys, who's the greatest? You know, you're kind of missing the point there. But Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. So Jesus was a great servant. So it's great for Jesus to love us as a big brother, but we in turn need to love others the same way, yeah. Right? It just wouldn't be great if we learned all this from Jesus and it stopped with us. Yeah. And so point number two is be a big brother or sister to someone else. And you don't have to be a man to do this, or male, or necessarily older. I mean, you can just love others as a big brother. Take them under your wing. Love others as Jesus has loved you. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. All right. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. It says, we love because he first loved us. If we say we love God, yet hate a brother or sister, we are liars. For if we do not love a fellow believer whom we have seen, we cannot love God whom we have not seen. And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love one another. Sometimes, even in a church this small, you can have divisions in this body. Yes. You know, because whenever you get people involved, you know, we have our own opinions, and If you have a hard time loving your brother or sister, then the Bible says you can't say you love God whom you can't see if you can't love your brother whom you do see. That's a challenging scripture, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, I love God, but I just can't get along with Mark, you know? I mean, how could you say that, you know? Or just pick somebody in the body. And maybe you know somebody in the body like that today, and I'm encouraging you to change that.
Amen.
You know, who's it going to be that's going to forgive, you know, be a peacemaker, you know, love this brother or sister by resolving the issue, you know, or sometimes letting people do it their way. Shoot, that works in marriage, right? You know, I know our marriage, you know, Terry and I are opposites. I always tell people, if it wasn't for Terry, I'd have no fun at all. You know, because she's fun-loving and spontaneous. I'm like calculating. You probably notice how I do things. But I really learned to just kind of go with it with Terry, and I have more fun. You know, she says, how about let's go to here today? And I'm thinking, that wasn't in the plan. And I just think, just go with it, Scott. Just go with it. And I end up having a great time. My life is 1,000 times better. So same thing with the body. You know, when people have different ideas than you do, or,
yeah,
you know, you definitely can talk to them, but sometimes just go with it. Yeah. And let the Holy Spirit work through the whole body.
Yeah.
I think about my brother. He was 4 years older. We did have our arguments here and there, but not many fights since I was outmanned. He was 4 years older. I mean, I wasn't going to win. So, you know, he could have gone a separate way, my brother. You know, he could have just taken care of himself. I mean, nobody really made him that I know of. I'm sure
right.
Mom and Dad
right.
did a few things. Yeah. But my older brother chose to take care of his younger brother and sister. I mean, he made a decision to love us. So what I'm telling you here today is love is a decision.
Yeah.
Wow. You make a decision to love everybody in this room.
Yes.
Or you decide I'm not going to.
Wow.
I mean, it's that simple. Yeah. I'm going to love my brothers and sisters. Yeah. And I'm going to love the lost. That's a decision as well. I was thinking for the question, who are you being an older brother to? I think about family groups. Family groups are really great because you can mix it up a little bit more. You know, you have to do things together and things come out. And also you get to know people better. And when I think of our family group in Orlando, we rotate, you know, where each person's house. And you know, when you go in someone's house, you get to know them so much better. And we rotate doing the lessons. And I just think that family group concept is just so great to practice. Because you do rub each other sometimes, you know, having those closer relationships. So I'd encourage you, and I know you guys are set up the same way. Another example about loving each other is coming to midweek.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to midweek. Because I hear people say, I just don't get that much out of midweek. And you know what that person is saying? I'm in it only for me.
Wow.
I'm only here for what I can get.
That's right.
You know, how's that going to work? Is that what Jesus did?
No.
I mean, Jesus went where people went, and he was there to serve. He was there to give. And when you go to midweek, think about, who can I be a big brother to? Or today, who can I be a big brother to and encourage? And I'm guarantee you, everybody needs encouragement.
Yeah.
And I do that. That's one of the things I've learned to do is to give. And, you know, sometimes with midweek, I don't feel like going, you know, because I work all day on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, tonight, Tuesday, oh, yeah, I got midweek tonight. But I made that decision to love.
Amen.
So I let that override any other things. And I go, and after midweek, I'm on top of the world. Because
yeah.
I gave of myself, I received, I'm renewed from my job.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most incredible thing, and yet some disciples choose not to go to midweek. And I hope you repent of that today, that you'll make that decision. Because that's not how Jesus has loved me.
Right.
I mean, how much can you receive and just not give anything back?
Wow.
It doesn't work that way.
It
doesn't work that way. So in conclusion, Jesus is our big brother, and we are part of God's family. Jesus loves us as a big brother in specific ways. He takes care of us. He was good at everything, and he's shown us how to do things. That same admiration and appreciation that I felt for my brother that day is the same feeling we should have for Jesus. We should just be sitting on that couch, and Jesus is there, and just thinking, you got admiration and appreciation. And that feeling should never go away. It should get stronger as life goes on. And also, be a big brother to others around you.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Amen.
Amen.